Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, talk show host and film critic Corey Coleman talks about waking up drunk with a mariachi guy.
How come my body feels funny? I can't feel my hands. Oh my God, I can't feel my hands. I look down, and the reason why I can't feel my hands is because there are boxing gloves on them. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, where the fuck did these boxing gloves? And then I said, well, what's going on with my head? And I reached up and with my wrist, I felt my head, and I had on like this boxing sparring helmet. And I'm panicking, like, where the fuck did this come from? I look over, because I'm like looking for anybody. I look over, and there's this guy that's sleeping next to me, and it's a mariachi.
Today on the show, filmmaker and talk show host Corey Coleman talks all about waking up drunk with a mariachi guy. Stay close.
Hey everybody, my name is Corey Coleman, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show of over 10 years, coming up on 11 years this summer, or you're a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the show last week with Harry Duran. Harry Duran is a very interesting guy I've known for several years. He is a podcaster, but he's more than that. He owns this company called Podcast Junkies. And he produces many shows, and he's an authority on podcasts. A lot of us are authorities on podcasts, but Harry is definitely one of them, and just a damn nice guy. And his story was how he found his voice, and he had to go through a very tragic situation to get to that place. I did as well, so we had a lot in common, and both of our instances took place overseas. Like his, he almost went over a waterfall in Thailand, you know, whatever. But it was like a life and death moment. And then it's like, boom, I better start doing what I said I wanted to do because life could be very short, especially if you're overseas doing stupid things in remote areas. I know that treacherous path for sure. Anyway, you guys, don't go anywhere, though, today, because today I'm here with another really interesting guy. He's not a comedian, which I usually have gone comedians, but this guy, Corey Coleman, is super entertaining. Essentially, you are a comedian, Corey, don't you think?
I would say so.
I mean, you don't go up and just do stand-up. You have more production behind you, but you're definitely an entertainer.
No, definitely entertainer, and I've done straight-up comedy shows when we tour. I mean, that's the way I tailored them, but I guess the way you address me is that people probably know me at first as a critic and then as a podcaster or entertainer. So, yeah, you're all of that together.
I'm so impressed by you, Corey Coleman. I really am, and I have to tell you, you know, the way we've connected, I don't even know if you realize how I know you now.
Oh, well, you know what? I don't know how many things start out good when they say, I don't know if you know how I know you. That usually starts out, you talk about a story, that starts out with something bad. And you start out with, I want you to meet your son. Or I used to be a man.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember. No, but you've really, first of all, for the people out there that don't know you, you have built up basically a really great YouTube presence with your own network. You live in Austin, Texas, and you basically like gave the finger to New York and LA, and you said, I'm going to create my shit where I live, and it's going to work, and it does work.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You're doing it for years, though. This isn't like an overnight success.
No, you know what? First of all, let me say I'm very impressed by what you do, too. I've seen everything that you've done. I went and researched you, and I'm like, wow, this woman's incredible. You're also a very beautiful woman. I don't know how old you are, but I love your energy. I love your visuals right here. So I'm honored that you have me here. And to answer your question, yes, I am very much a person about doing it outside of a system. I hate gatekeepers. I really hate people telling you what you're worth, what your talents are, what you can do, what you can't do. So I've never really worked well in that atmosphere.
Yeah. It's hard, though, to get the confidence sometimes. So I'm anxious to, you know, learn more about you. And I know we do this through stories. And today you bring forth the topic, waking up drunk with a mariachi guy. And if I have a nickel for every time somebody brings this story in the door.
Yeah.
I really look forward to hearing it. No, I look forward to hearing it. I do enjoy a mariachi band now and then. I don't like when they come to your table at the Mexican restaurant and then they stand there and they play loudly until you do pay them. I mean, in other words, I feel like it should be like a nod of the head, like, oh yeah, come on over here. I want you to sing and I will give you money, like that. Because otherwise, it's just uncomfortable. It's like the guy with the roses who comes in and he stands in front of your table.
Yeah.
Like, you cheapskate, if you don't buy a rose right now, you're a loser.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you should mention that, because that is my first experience with a mariachi band. I've seen them on in movies and on television, but the first my first interaction with a mariachi band was when I was at a Mexican restaurant.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they are, like, here in Los Angeles, there's a street called Olivera Street, and it's really interesting. It's where some of the founding peoples of Los Angeles, it's like their heritage, and you learn about the people and their culture. And, you know, that particularly has quite a few mariachi bands. And they're always very good. I mean, I'd never really heard a bad mariachi band.
Yeah.
But their costume, I'm not sure where that comes from. Do you know?
I do not know. All I know is that... That's my first time seeing a mariachi band. I was in a Mexican food restaurant. I saw them playing, and I think our table was the first one when they got off the stage, because they were playing on the ones I saw first, they were playing on a stage. And I guess they leave the stage to go around the restaurant to, like, get money from people. And And I thought, well, I you know, maybe it's my ego, but I thought when they left the stage, I thought it was just three Mexican dudes hitting on me. I thought they singled me out in the crowd, and they were just kind of like, oh my God, this young man is so hot. This young black man is so hot. We got to leave the stage and come over here and sing to him. And I was like sitting up here like listening. I didn't know how to give him money. I didn't know they were like going to go around the rest of the restaurant. So I heard mariachi bands.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, well, I'm anxious to hear your story. But before we get to your story, I do want to talk about Double Toasted, which is basically, it's like a horrible movie night, as it were. You know, you purposefully have, you know, you purposefully watch a film that might not be that great and you critique it with your friends. But yours happens to be extremely successful. And I know that this starts from the first show you had, which was called Spill.com. Was that the same concept then? Was it horrible movies, as it were?
No. Well, just to give you a really quick summary, right now what we actually do is, I mean, like I said, we have our roots in doing movie reviews and whatnot, but it's more of a pop culture comedic channel, a pop culture humorous channel. But definitely my roots are in cable access, movie reviews. Spill was animated movie reviews. That was our pitch. I was an animator before I did all of this. And so I did a cable access show where we reviewed movies, but also I did animation as my main job. So when I decided to quit the access show, and also when I got laid off from my current job as an animator, I just decided to just, while I was getting unemployment and hanging out, I just combined the two. I animated some of our old reviews. It was seen by a company in New York. They hired me to actually go out and do the process, kind of develop the concept for them, and that's where we took off from there.
Okay. Did you go to school to be an animator?
No, I actually didn't. I was just a really nerdy guy that just kind of just sat back, and I was one of those creepy dudes that was drawing people all the time. Walked around with a sketchbook.
Yeah, but you were sketching, and then how did you jump to the computer, or what programs did you jump to?
Well, that's interesting. You should also bring that up. I was always sketching, so I had a sketchbook, and by, I guess, just the strength of my sketches, they hired me for animation. I'm not going to say I was that great of an animator, and probably, although I dreamed about doing animation all my life, I probably got around to it and just didn't like the process. I did it when it was old school. I did it when everybody did it on paper. They had to film every page and whatnot. It wasn't until Flash came out, which is known as Adobe Animate now, that I was thinking, because I remember I was working on paper and I didn't like it. I was like, man, if there was only a way to do this with the push of a button.
Wow.
And the digital age did that. So that's when I became really interested in animation. That's when I started doing it.
Do you ever, like now, because of course you're a film critic and you also, you know, like we said, you've got this whole channel now with many different subjects. It's not just filmmaking. But do you still like have an iPad that you play around with, like in your off time? Do you ever have like a something you doodle on, or do you doodle on like, like legal pads or something?
Yes, I do. I bought an iPad specifically to do sketches with. I'd rediscovered a sketchbook that I hadn't drawn in since I was in high school, and that was a long-ass time ago. And I saw the sketches I did when I was like 17, 18, and I did them very loose. So I thought, I'm going to start carrying a sketchbook and a pen around and start sketching again. So, yeah, I'm starting to...
A pen or pencil?
Oh, man, a pen, because... My brother taught me a long time ago, who's also an artist. He said, you know, to really get confident, do something where you can't go back and erase it. So just commit to it. Just do it. If you mess up, you're stuck with it, and that'll build you confidence.
That's pretty interesting, man. Yeah, that's good advice. I like that.
Thank you.
And so you do have one of the shows on your network, which is just amazing, Double Toasted and DoubleToasted.com. You have this show, you know, called Double Toasted, and it's basically movie review. Where did you get that title, Double Toasted?
I knew that people knew us from movie reviews, and I didn't want to do anything that was obviously movies or entertainment. So I don't want to be like the movie boys or, you know, movie guys or something like that. I didn't want to be obvious, so I just took a name. I took two random words. That's my whole approach. Take two random words.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, even though you're critiquing, and even though you're, you know, you and your co-host, you guys are ripping to shreds some movies, but at the end of the day, you are telling people to either watch it or don't watch it, or rent it or don't rent it. And so either way, you know, if you've ripped it apart, if at the end of the day you say rent it, well, that's great for them. I mean, they're honored.
Yeah, I've always said, and I've heard you use some language, so I'm going to use some language too. I've always said I'm more a professional shit talker than I am a critic. So I'm not ever going to stop talking shit about something. But at the same time, I don't really go out looking to tear something apart. I really want to be fair with things. And being on the creative side of things, and also as a viewer and a fan of stuff, I realize now that people really do go into, you know, you do get those situations where people want to make a quick buck. Not a quick buck. They want to, it's a money grab. That's what studios do. They have to make money to stay in business. But you get a lot of creators, directors and actors and producers. They really want to go out and really make something. And so I'm trying to keep that more and more in mind these days.
Well, for sure. And you do. You are fair about it. I mean, when you talk to film... Well, first of all, you do an interview show as well where you talk to filmmakers. You know, you talk about with the budget you had or with the budget that the film had. You could only go so far with special effects or whatever.
Yeah.
And you always acknowledge that, no doubt about it. But have you ever gotten any negative feedback from people you've really goofed on?
Oh, as far as some of the... You know, that's one of the things I can say about these folks that really are true creators, man. They know going in that their stuff is being out there for public consumption, and they're going to have to be open to criticism. I have yet to we've torn something apart, and the director has come in and said, just thank you for reviewing it. Sorry you didn't like it, but that's cool. I still thought what you did was entertaining. And that's when I really start to turn around and really respect people more as creators.
It is flattery. At the end of the day, it's flattery. And you have over 200,000 YouTube followers, so your word has weight to it, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm really in a position where I'm glad because I, you know, look, we're not the biggest people out there. YouTube really counts people who are a million or more. So for us to have 200,000, that's a good number. That's a good chunk. But at the same time, it really keeps me humble and realize, hey, man, you know, you can always strive to do better, and don't ever let this get to your head.
No, for sure, for sure. However, I'm just saying it's a big number. I think it's a big number.
Oh, thank you. No, it's enough to pay the bills and live comfortably. So yeah. I am very humbled, and I am very appreciative to have that.
So what made you go to YouTube? I mean, you've been doing it for a long time. This has been, you know, you've been building up, of course. But now with Facebook Live, have you ever done anything with those guys?
Facebook Live, I have, but, you know, we have a contract with Twitch where we have to stream exclusively with them. Mm-hmm. but we can still post our material everywhere, our content everywhere. So we, you know, I always had a strategy of trying to figure out how to distribute your content where you could really, really maximize the profits and the gains from that. So you stream one place, which now is Twitch. It used to be on our own website, but now it's Twitch. We stream one place there.
And that's the actual, like, a viewing party where anybody can watch the movie.
Yeah.
Well, if they're a certain subscriber level.
It's a live show. Yeah. You don't have to be subscribed. It's like on Twitch, it's a live show. You might have to deal with commercials, but that's it. It's a live show. You subscribe, you don't have to deal with the commercials. But it's a live show. Yeah. You stay there for how many hours we do it. And then after it's done, it's post-edited so that it can go on in shorter edited chunks on YouTube. It can go on Facebook. And then the audio itself is placed on SoundCloud and many other platforms out there.
You must have several people helping you out here, working for you, essentially, yes?
Yes. Yeah, believe me. I tried it for, once I really went out on my own and things started picking up, I realized in a very short amount of time, I cannot do this on my own.
I know. It's too
much. I'm sure you have the same, you do too, right?
I do. I'm going 1,000 miles an hour, and I could sit in front of the computer and just not stop working. It's not like there could ever be an end. It's not like, oh, I'm done now, I'll leave. You know, it's like, it's
forever. It's funny.
You can always update a website. You can always update a graphic. You can always update a bio. Always.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, game recognizes game. I saw everything that you do and how you're working. And even right now, just by talking to you and hearing you, I can tell how hard you work. So, it's the same thing. We relate.
And so let me ask you, when you are doing the viewing party and you're watching and you and two other people are on microphones and you're commenting on the film, and then, of course, people are on YouTube and they're chatting in the chat room and they're making comments. Sometimes you refer to those comments, sometimes you don't. Everybody's doing their own thing. It's kind of a free-for-all. Do you think it ever interrupts the flow of the movie or what the filmmaker was trying to say to begin with, or we're going into this knowing that this is what we're going to do?
I go in keeping in mind that there are certain things that audiences like when you're doing something live, but I'm also very, very, and not everybody does this, and if you really want to make me mad, go off topic and just go on a tangent and don't worry about your audience. Everything I do is having the audience in mind. So even when I go off on a tangent and it looks like I'm leaving the review just to like momentarily go off on something else, I will even say, hey folks, we're getting back to this. Hold on for a moment. Let me talk about this right here. Yeah. You know, I think the most important thing is keeping your audience in mind.
Yeah, for sure, because you're doing the show for them. And I think that's also a nice reason why to talk directly to the audience, like my audience, who I love so much. I mean, I'm talking to them as well, and they're always in my mind. So it's me and you, but it's also them. I'm not going to steer them wrong, or then they're going to dump me, you know?
Yeah.
I can't surprise them.
Like I said, if you really want to piss me off, man, do a show with me, be a co-host, and don't keep the audience in mind and just start acting like they're not there because you always have to keep them in mind.
It's very amateur, though. And, you know, when I started my show almost 11 years ago, I had a co-host for 6 years. And we're still friends. But the point is like, I needed him to give me the confidence to do it in the first place. And then later I could dump him. No, I didn't dump him.
We're still friends. You used him.
But I'm just saying, like, I felt like I was doing more like a fly on the wall audience rather than now talking to my audience.
You really have to keep them in mind. That's why I talk to the audience. Sometimes they even cuss out the audience, you know, but they seem to appreciate that.
I just did that on Facebook. I said,
what did you do?
Well, because I get these, you know, and I shouldn't look at stats, but of course I do. And I think pretty much everybody does. And I get this one called PodKite, and they tell you how you're doing really all over the world. So this week I was up in like 7 countries, but the countries are like Saudi Arabia, you know, Vietnam, Thailand. I think I get a lot of foreign countries that maybe want to hear the conversation language, maybe part of it, and also just that it's storytelling and, you know, that translates. But anyway, it was like up to number 23 in Singapore and up to number, you know, 32 in Saudi Arabia. And then United States is like number 151 in comedy interviews. 151. What the hell is that? So I said, what's up with you peeps, man? I mean, you're breaking my balls. I got to eat. I got a kid. She's got to eat.
Well, how old is your kid?
She's 14.
How is that raising a 14-year-old?
Well,
especially for mom being a podcaster.
I know, and I'm a single mom, and she's in eighth grade. She's in the bedroom in school, you know. She has two of her own YouTube channels. She's nice. Very accomplished on her own. Yeah, she's very motivated. I think she hears me. She's been hearing me her whole life. You know what I mean? And she's also very talented. She plays piano. She plays ukulele, guitar. She sings. She's going to art school. She's next year she'll start high school at a setting cinematic arts. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, right?
That's amazing.
I know. Can you
imagine? Wish I had that.
Now, I know you have a brother. Yes? You have a brother.
Yes, I have several brothers.
You have several brothers. Yeah. I don't know about how you grew up, but man, nowadays, and do you have children, by the way? I don't even know.
No, I don't.
It's like me and her dad, we're both in the industry, and the way we foster her and push her along, it's like she's going to basically do her whole life what she wants to. I can't even imagine growing up like that because my parents didn't have the vocabulary or the, you know, it didn't exist back then. You know, there was no internet. Yeah. So how could you just be an actress? What the hell is wrong with you? You know,
what does dad do?
Her dad is also a filmmaker. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's, it's good. I like raising her around so much art for sure. All right. Now here's what we need to say. And then we're gonna get to your story. Cause I can't wait to hear waking up drunk with a mariachi guy. You hadn't even been sober when you woke up with this guy. So it must've been midstream something. And we're going to hear that in 1 second. But before we do, I got to tell you, the way I know you. You reviewed a little movie called The Guest House.
Yes. Were you in that?
I was not in it, but my boyfriend of over 2.5 years was the lead, Jake.
He was Jake?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, way to spray that on me, man. Look, you tell your man, what's his name again?
Okay, his name is Tom Alper. He did not write it. His brother did.
Okay.
He's the lead actor. I did tell you, dude, in the email I sent you. I did tell you, but
I guess
you must
I glossed
not
over that. I'm sorry, because maybe I'm just acting and giving you a fake surprise response. But no, I know you sprung that on me, and I should have read further because I love that movie, man.
I know.
I'm telling you right now.
It's so fun to watch. And you guys, the way you watched it and reviewed it was just hysterical. And at the, you know, in the beginning, it was getting ripped apart. But by the end, you guys admitted it was damn entertaining.
I talked to Tim. Mm-hmm. Tim Robbins.
Really?
He's, you know, the other guy, the giant gay guy.
Yeah, you know, I don't know him, but I've seen him in the movie. Yeah.
He hasn't introduced you to him?
No, he lives in San Francisco. We're in LA.
Okay. Well, I just got to say, people, let me just tell these people out here.
Oh, yeah.
On her boyfriend's behalf, I'm going to talk about this movie. Listen, it's, and I'm just going to be honest with you, it's made on a lower budget, and so it's not going to be like the Hollywood level, but I got to tell you that I love that movie, and I genuinely love it. I don't love it as an ironic kind of love. I don't love it in a way to make fun of it. I can watch that movie over and over again and have so much fun, and not to laugh at it, to have fun with it. I'm not being condescending at all. I love that movie, man.
Did you see, I think it was one of the Van Pattens. I think it was Tim Van Patten was in it, which is very random. He was the guy in the bar with, you know, talking to the character, and then the big guy came and tackled him.
Chokes his ass out, yeah. Yeah, man. Believe me, I know everything. I've watched this movie like 2 other times on my own.
Yeah, I'm so happy you did. That's so funny. It's called The Guest House, you guys. You can get it on Amazon Prime. It's only a couple of bucks to rent. It's well worth it. Yeah, I heard you even bought it.
I bought that movie. We're going to do a viewing party, so I said, nah, man, it's rare that because believe me, I'm going to be honest with you, there's some movies I'm going to review, and they're big Hollywood movies, and I say Hollywood has enough money, I'm reviewing this movie, I'm going to get this movie any way I can. But for this movie, I wanted to support because I said, man, this movie entertained me so much.
And guess what? Every single week, and you're going to love this, I get to be with this dog right here whose name is
Roxy. Roxy, justice for Roxy. Roxy lives. Yes.
I want you to know she's fine. She's healthy.
People, let me give you some context to this. So in this movie, The Guest House, find it on Amazon. Buy it. You can rent it, but buy this. Have viewing parties with it. And you're going to laugh at it at first, I'm going to tell you. But by the end of it, you're going to be like, man, this really worked as a functioning thriller.
Yeah.
They have a dog in this movie, and it's about, let me tell you what it's about. It's about a giant gay man who falls in love with a little straight dude. I know your boyfriend's not little, but compared to him,
yeah,
everybody's
little. I know,
he's
6 foot tall. I know.
Yeah, so this guy's not little, but compared to this giant, everybody's littler than him. So he just falls in love with him and says, I'm going to have sex with you one way or another. I'm going to stalk you. And, it's sort of like a fatal attraction type thing. But there's a scene in there with this dog and the giant gay guy named Max. The character's name is Max. He is so angry and frustrated that the other guy won't fall for him, Jake, that Jake won't fall for him, that he hangs up the phone. The dog just wants some peanut butter. And he tells the dog, get away that peanut butter. And the dog won't. So he goes in there, drags that dog away from the counter. Why he keeps his peanut butter in the bottom shelf, like near the floor, I don't know. But he drags that dog over and beats, excuse my language, he beats the fuck out that dog.
And there's a howling that's like, ow, ow, ow.
And it's a person. I'm sorry, it's the person doing that. Because you hear like, ooh. And that dog is laid out on the floor. And they show it. And this is what sells it. They have an after shot of that dog who somehow went back over the peanut butter cabinet. And he's on the floor. And those little paws are just shaking like he's got Parkinson's, and man,
he does. His little paw is like wagging.
How did they get that dog to do that?
Somebody said that's the best actor in the movie.
How did they get that dog to go? Seriously, I'm not even trying to laugh about this. How did they get that dog to start shaking like that?
I don't know. I really don't. But it was so violent, and you didn't see it coming. It's like, Jesus Christ, Max just hit that dog in the face. You know?
And it works because he pulls that dog. People, this is what they say this in movie. Leave it to your imagination.
Right.
Because you don't see that dog get hit, but he pulls that dog behind a counter, and he starts putting like these love hooks on his dog. And that dog, you hear, and your mind fills in the rest, and it feels like he really is beating the shit out of this dog. It's amazing.
I love Roxy so much. She's such a sweet dog. It's a yellow lab. And I've asked Steve, Tom's brother, Steve, who wrote the movie. I've said, Steve, what was happening? Why was there peanut butter on the floor anyway? And he goes, because earlier in the movie, there was a part where Max had to lay down traps for bugs or mice, and he used peanut butter. And I said, yeah, but you didn't say that. And he said, we had to cut it because we didn't have any time.
Well, okay, thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I thought I was just being kind of a shitty nitpicky person saying, why is there peanut butter on the floor?
I know. I'm like, Steve, that would have been 15 seconds to explain why is there peanut butter. Because Max goes, Roxy, I told you to stay out of that peanut butter.
Yes. Oh, my God. You guys, I got to tell you, between your man, between Tim, between you, you guys are some of my favorite people right now.
If we do a show
in L.A., you guys have to come out, man.
Oh,
please.
Definitely. Oh, definitely, for sure. And, you know, Steve, last year he wrote, what was it called, Walk to Vegas or 7 Days to Vegas with mm-hmm. Vince Van Patten, who produced that whole thing. And, yeah, that movie is okay. A little heavy on the voiceover. You know how sometimes filmmakers, they fill in with voiceover?
Yeah.
It's like they use, like, that Goodfellas cheat, and it doesn't really work anymore. Anyway, but 7 Days to Vegas is also a very good movie. It might even fit the criteria for Double Toasted. I'm just saying.
Okay. Walk to Vegas.
Keep an eye out. Yeah, keep an eye out. But listen, today I'm specifically excited to hear about you waking up drunk with a mariachi guy.
Not as excited as I am to hear about what this is all about, this connection here. This has made my day, man. I love you guys.
I thank you so much, Corey. I did not set you up, though, because I told you in the email. You'll go back. You'll see. I even hit on, I highlighted Tom's website, so you'll see he's like an actor. You know, he's an actor.
I'm sorry. I maybe brushed over that. I am so sorry.
Don't be silly. It doesn't matter. No, it cracks me up. And I'm such a fan now of Double Toasted. I mean, I tell
not
you
as
what.
Much as I'm a fan of you guys.
You crack me up. All right, so listen, let's get over to your story. I'm really excited to hear it. But before we do, I wanted to remind everybody that we're playing Story Smash, the storytelling game show, every Friday night, live on Facebook and YouTube at 7 o'clock Pacific time. And goddamn, we're having a good time, I have to tell you. Seriously, recently Wendy Liebman was on, and she said she peed her pants.
That doesn't sell something. That's
Thank
the quote.
You.
I peed my
Thank
pants.
Thank you. Blink of Patch is always there. Danny Zucker. Wendy McLennan Covey's been there. Diallo Riddle's been there. So it's been just great. I'm absolutely thrilled about Story Smash. You guys find out more at the website storysmashshow.com. All right, you guys, he's here right now. You've heard him talking. Corey Coleman, he is a film critic, like we said, and an animator and a filmmaker and a voice actor. And he's best known for the now defunct film review site spill.com, which we talked about, and now is doing Double Toasted. You can find out more at doubletoasted.com. But you also... Yeah, man. But you also are on, you must podcast at least every day. Is that right?
Yeah.
At least.
Every day.
Yeah, because you're on other shows within that network, like The Weekly Roast, What's Up, Son, The Sunday Service is Live.
I use the word network loosely, but that is the property that we do it on. That's the name.
That's
that
what
is
I
the
meant.
Main
yeah, that's
name.
The anchor.
That is the main name that we do it under. We just have different. We just give different. We give shows different names for the different days of the week, so they can be distinguished for that.
Well, what's 8-Bit Crumbs?
That is the video game discussion show that we do.
Are we supposed to know that by the title, what day it is, or what did you mean by 8-Bit Crumbs? What the hell is that?
8-Bits.
Is it a cooking show? Oh, 8-Bit.
8-Bit, like 8-Bit graphics, you know. So, yeah, you know, I see. That is our...
I thought it was more about toast, you know, 8-Bit Crumbs. Like, I thought it was more...
The only thing about this name is that if you don't know what we're doing, I don't blame people for thinking that it has to do with something about baking.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. It's so damn funny. So, yeah, you guys follow him over there at the website doubletoasted.com and then also on Twitter at doubletoasted and on Instagram at double_toasted. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Corey Coleman.
I knew that this was a storytelling podcast right here. And it was funny because I didn't know what story I was going to tell, but I was sitting with my wife last night and her brother was over. So I was talking. She was just bringing up all this stuff to tell her brother because he had never heard these crazy stories about me. And most of them are drunk stories. So I forgot that I had told this one, man. I forgot that I hadn't told this to many people. But this is probably one of the wildest drunk stories that I have because it started out in a day where I was not supposed to be drinking. The function of what I had that day included specifically not drinking. And then it ended up with me blacking out and waking up in several spots that I did not know where I was. But so the way this day began was it was a Saturday where I did say, I am not going to drink today. I had a kind of crazy week, not weekend or anything, but crazy week. And so today is a day to kind of relax. And then I get this call at 11 a.m. from a friend of mine who said, hey, look, me and the gang, we're doing this drunk filmmaking festival. And this is by the Alamo Draft House. It's a, you know, they get a bunch of alcohol and give a camera to some people and say, shoot whatever you can with the props that you picked up drunkenly. So he says, listen, and I tell him, I said, man, I was planning on taking it easy today. I'm not going out there and doing some drunk movies. She's like, no, it's nothing like that. We need you to come out and be the designated driver. We were calling somebody specifically not to drink. Can you, man, well, look, you don't have to drink anything. Just come over here and just hang out with us. And then when, you know, you drop us off at our location, let us shoot. Just make sure everybody gets home safely. All right, sure, I can do that, man. So I go over there to pick them up. He gives me the address and everything. And when I get there, they're still going on. What they have is a house. I don't know whose house. I don't know what designated this spot, but it's a house full of just kids out there. When I say kids, 20-somethings, just drinking, picking up bottles left and right. And they still have more to go. So I'm waiting, and these guys are not done. So I was like, all right, well, I just got to sit back and just watch everybody, I guess. But there's so much alcohol that there's this bottle. It's only been poured for maybe 3 or 4 times. But it's almost a full bottle of Maker's Mark. And this is the first time Maker and Mark and myself have all got to know each other. So I've never, because I wasn't much of a drinker until I was 25, so I did not know it really. I didn't know brands of alcohol. So Maker's Mark, I was like, that sounds interesting. I pick it up. I start taking sips. And as I'm taking sips, I am looking around and having more and more fun, just looking at people get drunk, do stupid things. And I just keep taking sips, little sips here and there. I say, it's not going to be so bad if I just take a snip here and there. And before I know it, I look over and I'm putting a bottle up to my mouth and there's hardly anything coming out. And I was like, oh, shit. I just drank this whole bottle of bourbon right here. And I'm like, but I'm not feeling anything. I said, I'm cool. So the guys come over and they say, are you all right, man? And they're all a little bit drunk. And I'm like, you good, man? You all right to drink? And I was like, yeah, I just had a little bit to drink right here, but I feel okay. And I'm like, good, let's go. And we get to the car, and I put everybody in. And I start the car, and I think there's about 4, maybe 5 people in this car that crammed in. And as soon as I hit the road, I back out, I hit the road, and I hear all these drunk people behind me talking about, stop, stop, stop the car, stop. And I just realized, like, I can't understand what they're yelling about, and I can't see in front of me. I blacked out immediately behind the wheel, and I'm not proud of this. I didn't mean to drink and drive, but I passed out behind the wheel. And fortunately, those guys who were supposed to be drunk, they sobered up real quick, and somehow they managed to stop the car. Somebody put their foot on the brake. All I heard was, get him out the car, get him. And I just realized I could hear what was happening, but I was limp. I had no control over what I was doing. And he pulled me out it was almost like there was a fire in the car, like the firefighters that showed up. They pulled me out the car like this was a big emergency. And I just remember having no control over myself, just letting them do what they want to do. I guess they put me in the back seat, because between pulling me out of the front seat and put me in the back, I blacked out. I did not know what happened. So, darkness.
But real quick, do you remember starting the car?
Yeah, I remember starting the car. Yeah, I remember getting in the car. I remember starting the car. I remember, like, tell me the directions where we need to go. And it seemed normal. Like, really, it hit me all of a sudden. It wasn't like I went to the car all like, yeah, let's go. It was like, really, I felt like I was okay. I wasn't much of a drinker, and I just didn't realize I had drank this whole bottle because I was just taking sips. But yeah, I don't remember starting the car. I don't remember any of that. All I remember is like being pulled from the car after everything went limp. But between that and putting me in the back seat, darkness. So I come to eventually. I wake up and I'm looking around and I'm like, where the fuck am I right now? Because I'm in a warehouse. And I have no clue what I'm doing, because I don't remember what happened before. I just like, how did I end up here? And I say, how come my body feels funny? I can't feel my hands. Oh, my God, I can't feel my hands. I look down, and the reason why I can't feel my hands is because there are boxing gloves on them. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, where the fuck are these boxing gloves? And then I said, well, what's going on with my head? And I reached up, and with my wrist, I felt my head, and I had on this boxing sparring helmet. And I'm panicking. I'm like, where the fuck did this come from? I look over, because I'm like looking for anybody. I look over, and there's this guy that's sleeping next to me, and it's a mariachi. So I'm dressed like a boxer, which I didn't ask for. And this guy next to me is dressed like a mariachi, and it took me a while to realize, like, because I looked at this, I said, this mariachi looks familiar. I think I know this guy. And it was one of the guys that was supposed to be in this drunk film festival. And they just, why I didn't recognize him? Well, for one, he was sleep in full mariachi gear, including the sombrero, which is huge. don't know how he was laying his head down like that, but he also has the bandito mustache on. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck? Why is he dressed like a man? Why am I dressed like this? And this guy comes over and he says, so you remember what we told you, right? I'm like, fuck no, I don't remember what I told you. What did I tell you? What did you tell me? And he says, yeah, man. So remember, we talked about you getting here. You seemed kind of awake at the time. We said, since you couldn't drive us, we needed another person here. We decided to make you the hero of the movie. And I said, why the fuck are you going to make a person who's half passed out the hero of whatever you're doing? I don't even know what this entails. I said, well, what was the story again? He says, so we took the props we had. There was a mariachi suit or a hat or something. We had boxing gloves. We had rope. And there was some other stuff that the guys wore, tank tops or something. But he said, we decided to, like, make the mariachi the villain, make you the hero, which is kind of racism that cancels out racism because they made the Mexican guy the villain but the black guy the hero. So I guess that's cool. But they said, so we had the rope. Where it is, we tied this. The mariachi has the girl tied up. We're the mariachi's henchmen, and you're the hero, the boxer who comes in to save the day. We thought about this drunk. Don't ask about story details. And I was like, of course. All right. I'm like, well, I don't remember any of this shit, but what do you want me to do? Well, you come in, and when we yell action – You go after the bad guys. You just start going after the henchmen. Don't punch too hard or anything. Just come after us, man. And I was like, I'm really not hearing a word. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm about to throw up, man. Yeah, whatever. And so they pull me out there. They carry me out there pretty much. They're holding me up like a wounded soldier. And I'm standing there just sort of staggering. And I see the girl who's tied up like a woman tied up to railroad tracks. She's tied up on a pole like a Salem witch they're about to burn. The mariachi's standing up there. He's half drunk, so he's not even fully into it, but he's like, yeah, I'm going to get you. And the rest of the guys are drunk too, but the one guy yells action. The moment that guy yells action, the first thing I do, and I don't know where I'm swinging because I'm out of it. All I know, but I start to swing, and I hear this woman go like, no, no, God, no. And apparently, I immediately go for the girl because I'm not looking at her. And she ducked. She managed to duck some kind of way. I didn't hit her. But the guys pulled me out the way, and I'm just running after them, swinging. Everybody's running. They're not even acting anymore. They're just like, man, get the fuck off. Get the fuck off of us, man. Cut. Get him. Catch him, he's crazy. And I'm just swinging at anything. And at that moment, they yell, the guy doesn't yell cut. He just laughing at me, swinging at everybody, chasing people. The mariachi's running, his hat falls off. And they finally, after he gets what he wants, he yells cut. I'm still swinging. They grab me. They're just like, all right, you can sit down. And they put me down. I immediately pass out again.
Again,
because I'm just, yeah, I think I throw up. I pass out again. They finally wake me up and they say, hey, man. We know you can't drive. You got to get your car later on. I don't know what we're going to do about it. But one of the guys was like, hey, let's go get you something to eat. Get something in your stomach because you were fucked up. And we go over to this diner. We're sitting in the booth. And I call the girl that I'm seeing over at the time. And she comes there. And when she gets in, she realizes that we're both drunk. But this guy, he immediately leaves. And I must have looked so bad because my head is on my girlfriend's lap at the time, and I'm just staring into space. And normally they would kick us out, but the guy at the restaurant at the diner, he said, you know what, you can't sleep here, you can't be drunk. But that guy looked like it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. He's like, that guy had a really fucked up day right there. I'm going to let you guys just take the time that you need.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And I went home after that. By 10 o'clock that night, I passed out at the house. I woke up at 10. I went and got a greasy hamburger to soak up all the alcohol. I was fine at that point. But, yeah, that was one of the most glorious and horrible and fun days I had ever had because of my drinking.
So tell me, what was the name of the film? What did they call it?
I don't know.
And how long was it? Like 3 minutes or five minutes?
It was probably like a 5-minute film.
Because it sounds like fun. I mean, like a little filmmaking contest at the Draft House. That's like a big place in Austin, right? The Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, and it's a thing that they have for all kinds of different film festivals. You have, like you have, this was a drunken film festival. You got the you got places that do 48-hour film festivals, 24-hour film festivals. So, this is, that's, this one just required you to get drunk, which I did.
I love the ingenuity of people, I think it's all very clever. I mean, not the drunk part, but just the people want to do fun stuff like this. So have you ever had Maker's Mark again? Do you still drink it or not?
I had some last night.
No kidding.
Yeah, me.
Is it good? Is it good? Is it whiskey?
It's bourbon. So are you not a drinker then?
No, I drink beer and wine. I'm from Pittsburgh, so it's kind of like beer.
I love women. This is probably sexist of me, but I love women when they can come out and say, I name beer the first thing that comes out of my mouth. I like beer.
I know.
A lot of women try to be fancy about it. I like when a person can just come out and say, man, I do beer.
One time I had a wine tasting party, and on the flyer it said, and the best part about it is there'll be beer.
Yes, I love beer too. I know I love beer. We have so many craft breweries here, and I'm sure you do where you are, but I love beer, but I'm a bourbon person right now because I have never been able to be – I've never been a bartender. I didn't know how to mix drinks. I'm not a mixologist, but I just learned how to – one of my favorite drinks is an old-fashioned, so I learned how to make them. So bourbon gives me the chance to kind of show off and learn and to show people what I learned when I first learned how to make a drink.
What's in an old-fashioned?
An old-fashioned has, if you really want to make it strong, two pours bourbon – You can put. I'm gonna give you my secret right here because you can put different things in to sweeten it up. You can use anything from honey to sugar to simple syrup, and I just put our just regular sugar. I usually use brown sugar. Put a couple of teaspoons of brown sugar in there, and then you put bitters. You put bitters in there, about enough bitters to darken the sugar, and then you put in an ice, you mix it up, you put it into a glass with ice, you take an orange peel, you garnish it. I like to burn the orange peel.
Oh, wow. Why?
Yeah, because when you rub the orange peel around the rim, it influences your taste, your sense of taste. So you're smelling the aroma of the burnt orange peel while drinking the cocktail, and it just enhances it a little bit.
Wow.
But what I started doing is I started making my old fashions with two pours bourbon, a teaspoon of honey, a pinch of salt, because salt brings out – it's almost like the way salt brings out the flavor of like
margarita.
Caramel. A margarita or salted caramel.
Any chocolate, like that coarse salt.
Yeah, and then I put the bitters in there. I like to use walnut bitters, and then I garnish it with the burnt orange peel, and then I put a cherry in there.
Right. Wow. The maraschino cherry.
The maraschino cherry is worth the price. People laugh at me for spending $20 on a jar of cherries, but damn it, it's worth it.
Don't overlook the maraschino cherry.
Don't sleep on the cherry.
And the glass is very important. You can't put something in a red Solo cup and say, oh, no, it's good. I don't believe you.
No, and presentation, it's all bullshit, but presentation is what it comes down to with the cocktail. That's why they charge you $15 to $20 for it.
It's what it comes down to for everything. Are you kidding?
You're right. So you're right. Get your glass. Get a nice cocktail glass. If you really want to impress, don't just get some crushed ice in there. Get yourself a nice ice cube or an ice ball.
Mm-hmm. I have the ball thing. I love that because they don't melt very quickly at all. The round ice cubes.
Oh, yes.
They take a long time to melt, which is, I think it's nice.
You're right.
So that was an example of you being a filmmaker. I mean, I know it was a big joke and stuff, that particular festival, but you are a filmmaker at heart, yes?
Well,
or not?
No, I'm not. I mean, listen, I'm just being honest. I love movies. I made one film because I had a friend who we decided to make a movie together. He had the money. I had the script. And we decided to give ourselves our own training, our own filmmaking school.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make another film after that. And I think I will. I think I will make something because I really love that creative process there. It'll either be something in a show format or a film format. But we made that one film, and then the website took off, and I just started doing this. And I just kind of found my calling with this. I love doing this. Because,
with Double Toasted.
Well, yeah. Well, we started doing Spill first, but we got free reign to do what we want to do, and I love that. And I got a taste of being able to, and I'm sure you can attest to this too.
Yeah. If you can pay the people that are helping you out, that's success to me.
Yes. No, you're exactly right. If you can get to the level where you can pay people and have them commit to what you're doing instead of just asking for favors until somebody quits, that's better. But for me, I have this luxury because I have an attitude of like, I'm pretty fair-minded. I appreciate people. I don't judge people. So if I'm saying something, it's not to put anybody down, but a lot of people don't take it that way. So I'm able to say whatever I want to say and offend whoever I want to offend or embrace whoever I want to embrace without having to worry about somebody above me saying, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. And now that everything is on a consumer level, for sure. I mean, that's the idea that we're all, you know, artists are doing is trying to get out there and things are on a more even playing field. But it another way, though, makes it more competitive. You got to move a little quicker. Yeah.
I admire your boyfriend. And who made this movie, and that is a process. That is something that takes so long to do. It's dedication. I've been through that. Yeah. That's why I look at them with complete respect and admiration.
So do I. It blows my mind. His brother Steve, he's written several things that I can't even believe how good it is. Like it blows my mind, and it's like, how do we get this funded? I mean, he works on it. That's what he does. But it's just like, shit, this is so good. You know, it's like, I gotta get it in somebody else's hands. You know, or I gotta find somebody to help me out with this. It's a whole thing, and the stick-to-itiveness is a big part of it for sure.
Yeah, I've been on both sides. I've been on his side. And I've been on your side I immediately started making money doing this. I was able to, I really realized the freedom I had with it because, you know, when you're doing something else, there's, again, gatekeepers from whether you have a director or producer or distributor, you have to deal with these people. And this, you know, it was just like, man, I got into it and I was like, man, I get to do whatever I want to do, and there's an immediate payoff. I get paid, and I fell in love with this.
Yeah, and you're very good at it. I mean, it's all, you know, the site is very consistent. The channel is very consistent. I mean, there's so much professionalism at this point. It's just great. It really is.
Thank you. That means a lot.
I'm super impressed.
From you.
Well, I'm super impressed, and I'm just so happy to meet you. You crack me up, Corey. You'd be a perfect judge for Story Smash, my game show we play every Friday night at 7 o'clock PST. So what is that, 9 o'clock to you?
I would be honored if you had me on for that.
What's your Friday nights like in the pandemic?
I'm usually home on a Friday night. Sometimes the wife wants to go somewhere because Friday and Saturdays are my looser days. But let me know if you let me know ahead of time.
For sure.
I will be more than happy. I'll be honored to be there.
Oh, my gosh. You'll love it. It's super funny and we'll have a really good time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank Corey Coleman again for coming on and sharing his crazy story. It was so much fun. You guys find Corey over there on his website, doubletoasted.com, and then follow him on Twitter at doubletoasted. And I'm on Twitter at storyworthy. So, you know, you tell him how much you loved his story. You tell him how much you love Double Toasted, and then you tag me at storyworthy. That's how it goes. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of Corey Coleman.
Thank you so much, Christy.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story-Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com. I'll keep you safe.